Lori Houston's News for the Heart is dedicated to helping you give a voice to your own soul. Our hearts have the power to free us from pain and the struggles that keep us from awakening to our true essence. Join Lori now as we delve into our heart and soul to find the path that will open us to the possibilities and lead us to the life we love to live.
Hey, good afternoon. This is News for the Heart. Well, I am kind of excited today because I get this is kind of a rare thing for me. I obviously do a lot of interviews, but today's a little bit special because I get to interview a 20-year-old who's written a book. Her name is Courtney Amundson, and her book is Teachings from God. And the reason I'm so excited is because I think we're going to hear a lot more from this girl in the future. And I think, you know, this book, there's 50 chapters. It really, you know, it's 300 and some odd pages. But you really need to take it like a chapter a day or less. It's really one of those books that you just kind of have to let it wash over you instead of trying to use your head to try and figure it out. It's about opening your heart and letting that take you. And, you know, I'm really excited to have you, Courtney. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. And I'm so excited to talk with you. And I can feel the energy of the show is so awesome, and listeners. And so I'm excited to be here and to talk about my new book.
Yeah. Okay. So tell me about your experiences, because, you know, I know that there are, you know, some of the children out there, you know, when they're first born up to a certain point, they can kind of remember past lives. And so, but there aren't many that go through their teen years without kind of shutting themselves off. Mm-hmm. So you did that, and that's kind of amazing. You've kind of been on this journey the whole way. So tell us a little bit about you.
Right. Well, I have grown up with pretty amazing parents who nice. have really nurtured me in this side of my life, I would say. I don't really mean it that way, because the way that my life is just the way that my life is. It's been this way my entire life. So I don't really consider, you know, spirituality to be separate from the rest of me, but I do consider it to be a, you know, kind of integral part of my family. And so I, you know, my sensitivities have always been really nurtured, and my passions have been nurtured. And so I've been really blessed in that way. I think with that in mind, that's been probably a, you know, pretty big reason why I have excelled in the way that I have, and that I've allowed myself this space to grow and to see my sensitivities and to see my awarenesses as a gift and not something that I need to shut down. And so I've always had this help along the way to really nurture myself and follow my passions, follow my heart. And whenever anything felt that it wasn't in alignment with me, I didn't do it anymore. You know, I was given the opportunity to bow out if it, you know, if that were to be what I felt was right. And so, you know, I've always been one that, you know, works well on my own. I can motivate myself really well. And so that was kind of what happened with school is, you know, I ended up switching to an online school and I did that for 4.5 years, I think, and that really helped me to devote all the time and attention I wanted to devote to my music and, my spiritual life, which was very big for me, and well, still is, but it gave me a groundedness that I didn't have anywhere else in any other school. And so I allowed myself to kind of be my own support system, and that gave me confidence, you know, because I wasn't seeing other people around me as much, you know, judging, right. Or I didn't feel like I had to shut down because I was in a safe environment and usually surrounded by people in communities that were similar to me. So again, you know, thank my parents for that because, you know, they had me, you know, learning from a Qigong master here in Minnesota. My mom and I mostly have been taking classes together. Nice. And I was introduced to him when I was 9 years old, and he really, really inspired me and deepened me spiritually a lot. Taught me my own power as a healer, that I was born a healer. And so I learned how to, you know, move energy in my own body to clear energy blockages and then also to heal other people. So that was a big awakening for me, just going to workshops and training with him here in Minnesota. And so that's where I learned meditation, and that's how I deepened and really started to experience visions of, well, actually Buddha was the first one that really came to me. I had my third eye opened. I had an experience of my third eye opening when I was 13.
Wow.
And I was practicing Qigong, and I saw Buddha in my third eye, standing right in front of me and in purple light. And it was just, it was a beautiful thing, but really what this meant to me was that there was more, there was an unseen realm. There was an unseen, journey, I guess, waiting for me. And I've spent my entire life, I feel, searching for what my soul purpose is and wanting that more than anything else. Just, what am I supposed to be here for? I'll do it. And I remember always thinking that, you know, before I would even maybe put words on it, I always felt that, that I was here for something, and I wanted to devote my time to that and my attention to that. So this, when I started receiving these teachings, I was 16 years old. It was March 12th, 2012. So just about 4 years ago now. Yeah. I'm 20. And I was taking a meditation break as I normally did, you know, on routine. I would take a meditation break during the day, and I was sitting there on the couch, and I popped in a, you know, relaxing CD, and I sat there, and my mantra that I learned from this Qigong master when I was 9 years old was, I am in the universe, the universe is in my body, the universe and I combine together. And beautiful. That's what I would say every time I would meditate. I would sit down and say that, and it would connect me right away. And usually I would feel just very peaceful, and I might, you know, do a guided meditation. But I didn't very often sit there and just allow whatever to happen. And I remember on that day I did. I completely surrendered to the experience, and I sat there and I when I said that mantra, I noticed a release within me, just a complete release, surrender, and as I did that, I felt, oh, it's just, yeah, it's beyond words. I felt this amazing, golden, angelic presence that entered through the top of my head, and it was like a funnel of light, and when it came down into my head, I felt bliss. I felt complete bliss and unconditional love. and also a gentleness, a very gentle presence. And it was so loving, and so and I didn't really know exactly what was happening, but I could feel by the way that it felt that it was beautiful, and that I could trust this. And I just had mindfulness during this, and I could feel this light moving down into my arms. There was an intelligence to it, and it was flowing into my arms and into my fingertips. And when it hit my fingertips, this light started to burst out my fingertips. I could feel it just shooting out. And I intuitively went to the computer because I knew that there was a message there. It's partly maybe my curiosity of, just wanting to know what would happen. Mm-hmm. Because I was familiar with the teachings of Abraham Hicks.
Okay.
And I grew up with that. And The Secret and the Law of Attraction. I was in conversations with God. All of those things I was introduced to around the age of 9. So I studied those and I was so amazed. I thought I had like a secret power because it was like something that I could really learn, something that really inspired me and made me come alive. So I thought, okay, secrets of the universe, I want to know more. So all of this yearning, I think, really sparked the communication when it started, because I sat down and I basically said, not out loud, but said in my mind, I surrender, and I just, whatever you want to tell me, I'm just gonna let you tell me. And spirit started to flow through, and the words came very, very slowly in the beginning because I was still getting used to it.
Sure.
But I had my eyes closed and they started to type, and it was a beautiful presence that I now know is simply the oneness. It's simply source energy that is funneled through me. And they said to me, it was plural, and so I knew that it was some collective. And of course, like everyone else, I questioned, who is this and what is this? And the answer was always, you put the face on God, that it doesn't matter to God what you call this energy. You can put a name on it if you want, but the suggestion was, the broader you get, the more you will experience the fullness of God. And so at first I called this presence Hannah, because that was the name that my mom used to call our guardian angel. My sister and I would visualize this guardian angel every night, wrapping around our house, golden wings wrapping around our house.
Beautiful.
Safe. And so I that's what I called it in the beginning. And as the teachings started to broaden from more of a personal nature to a universal nature, I noticed that it just, the presence started to be called oneness instead of Hannah anymore. And it was more that I had let go. I had let go, and it got deeper. It got, it got more away from my personal questions or my personal motivations to what really had to be expressed about the nature of humanity and what we're here to do and how we can tune in to our soul's purpose and be fully present with ourselves and grow. So that's the whole point of this work. It's to help people to grow as you are, wherever you are, and to see ourselves not separate from God or source energy or whatever word you use.
Right.
Because we are one of the same. We're part of each other. And when we collaborate, when we agree to work with each other, then we start to realize that we're the guiding force in our life. That it's not something outside of us. We are the ones, and we're loved unconditionally, and it's just amazing. It was amazing for me to experience such a loving presence that knew me so you know, in and out so personally. And I had no idea. I mean, I really didn't. I didn't know. I didn't ever visualize God as something or someone that knew me that well. So that was what was amazing to me.
Right. And do you feel that it's really, like, you know, we try to divide things. Now, I have someone who I interview once a month who is like a nuclear physicist. And, you know, for him, you know, he will say that it's all data. And the more we try to label it, the, mm-hmm. you know, the more filters are put on this energy. So mm-hmm. you're saying it's oneness. It's probably hard for people to grasp that in a in a mental capacity. Like, I think, you know, that's the whole thing about your book, right? It's really bringing out that the mind is limited and filters. I mean, we know that we need our brain. We know that it has things that we need, obviously, but we rely on it too much, and we usually allow it to control or try to control and kind of take mm-hmm. the driver's seat instead of allowing our heart. Surrendering into the heart sounds easy, or it seems simple, but it's not really all that easy for most of us.
I would say all of us. Yeah, it is difficult. You know, and that's why I ended up titling this book Teachings from God, because I didn't want to use a word that would leave a question with a lot of people.
Or a limitation.
Exactly. I want it to be as universal as possible. And really, you know, I guess where I struggle with it is that a lot of words already have a lot of labels and definitions to a lot of different people. And so I think more what the book touches on is how to build a relationship with that divine nature. And oneness to me, the way that I understand it, is simply that source that connects us all, that we're all that creative source. All of us are part of that creative source. Everything. It's not just about humanity. It's everything. And so, you know, the analogy or metaphor that is used in the book, there's many, but one that I really like is about a pot of soup. And it explains oneness as a pot of soup, in that there's many different flavors and textures in that soup. But we would never, you know, when we're dishing it up, we would never count how many molecules are in there, how many molecules of water. You just don't do that. It's a collective. It's, you know, one liquid, if you will. But when you're eating it, you can taste all the different flavors in it. You know, you can taste, you can pick out the different herbs. And that is what we often do with God, is... in a lot of, I guess, spiritual folk, we, you know, will say, oh, I channel Archangel Michael, or I channel mm-hmm. Archangel Gabriel, or, you know, how we often do that. Mm-hmm. And not that that's wrong in any way, but I think you're right in that the more that we're able to just take down our own veils, any definitions that we might have on God, that we can identify in the beginning, if we're able to let that go just for a moment and allow that source to fill us up and guide us and give us wisdom, that's when, I guess, the deeper truths start to come through. And that's where I got more of a direct experience of that energy, experiencing myself with everything, part of everything, and no separation. And that's how I know that it's a pure state. It's it's who we are in essence. But we have allowed ourselves to be expressed in this physical form, to experience a contrast, to evolve our soul. And we did it on free will. And that is the other thing, is that everything that we do is based upon free will, our free will, and what we want to do to fulfill our soul. And so it helps us to guide us through that, and also to give us very personal and very simple guidelines or guidance, I guess, to work through our day-to-day lives as a human, because it's not easy. It's very difficult at times, and we have emotions and we have difficult things that we come up against. And basically, you know, there's nothing wrong with being human. We shouldn't have our goal to be, you know, seeing like God, seeing like, you know, from the bird's eye view, because that wasn't the point of being here. The point is to experience being limited, experience having a limited perception of who we are, not knowing, questioning God. All of that is amazing, actually, when you think about it, that we can be that source energy, but also not even know it.
Right.
Because we chose to put ourselves in this little box to experience finding ourselves. That's the whole journey. That's the quest. And we often see ourselves as separate from everyone. We experience separation from everything and everyone. And we all have these different, you know, little goals, getting the right job, getting the right whatever, making enough money, all of these things. But in the end, essentially, we all have the same quest. And so this book, it is really just to help us wherever we're at in our journey, to find courage, to know who we are, to realize that we have all the tools within us, and to get started, because it's all about empowerment. It's all about freeing yourself from anything that's holding you back, that you're holding back from yourself. And so that's why it's called Greeting Your Soul and Revealing the Divine Within, because it's already there. It's already there.
Right. And although we're kind of individuated aspects of God, this energy or this essence that you've been channeling, you don't feel there's any individuation. I want to talk about the Akashic or the Akasha that you do talk about in your book. And I've interviewed Linda Howe, who I think is one of the leading experts. She's written 3 books. The last one is really about how to connect, and there's these powerful exercises on doing it. And when I did it, I mean, it was the most detached I'd ever had of the emotional and our emotional connection that we want to create.
It
seemed the most detached that I had been able to connect. And I know you talk about it a lot in the book. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Akashic record is kind of based on the earth plane or on Gaia and the many lives that we've had here. So it's kind of available to us here. If we've been to other planets, there'd be another Akashic that's associated with that. So that's kind of earth related. This energy that you're talking about, it seems to be different, but the same.
Well, we all have, my understanding and what I've learned from these teachings is that our existences are many. You know, there's only one moment. There's only the now. And so everything is literally happening at the same time. Right. Our perception only allows us to see this dominant reality, which is, you know, this human existence, 3 dimensions. There is a library, storehouse, Akashic records, that's stored within our earth. But there's also, you know, a more broad, universal one, whether they are connected or not. You know, I'm getting more information on this as we, as I move forward with the work. But so that part is still developing. But I do know on a more personal level, and what you kind of spoke about with your experience with that exercise, I've definitely had a similar experience where I was going into it and I was trying to achieve some result in some way. I was trying to uncover something that I don't already know. And that alone just, I think, brought up some resistance. and so there's quite a lot of humor in this book also as well, which kind of makes fun of humans and says we're silly in many ways because we want a 12-step process for everything. It's kind of an ongoing joke. Right. And it's true though. It's, you know, anything that we wish to achieve, we have to work at it. There's usually takes a long time. That's usually what we
believe,
you know, what we design or believe. Said it's going to take some time and there's a certain amount of steps. And what I have unveiled, if you will, a lot of that is in the chapter, I think it's called The Golden Toolbox. Which is like chapter 25. It's covered in many different chapters, but it talks about that all of these things are actually already within our physical body. That's part of the Akashic Records. It's all within our reach because all of the information has been storing, you know, forever. We're eternal. It's been storing in there forever. And none of that information gets lost when we incarnate, you know, to our next life or next, you know, whatever it is, next life. Not always human, but
right.
That remains there in our soul. And so what I found to be most effective is, first of all, let go of any motivations that you have. Anything that you're trying to achieve, let go of that. The more you can surrender and let the divine guide you, the more you're going to dive deeper into the experience and really see the truth. I had to unveil a lot. I had to, you know, go through many layers of my mind in order to see the more pure experience, you know, upon many, many subjects that I've asked about, this one being a big one. And I found that when I did that, the information that presented itself to me really surprised me, and I realized that it's not about trying to take something out of your Akash. It's not about trying to look for something. And it's not always about doing a certain meditation to get there. Sometimes it's about having a humble, heartfelt intention and, you know, asking your divine to you know, help to guide you. And as you do that, you surrender yourself. You allow yourself to open up to the possibility that you might not know. You might not have all the information. You might not know what's best for you. And that's difficult. That's very, very difficult to not try to control your experience. What I found is I have gathered or revealed, I guess, maybe a lot of talents that I was not aware of before. Many people would say I didn't have it before, but I know that's not true because it's all stored in my Akash. It's all stored there in my physical body. And all you have to do is ask for those things to be presented to you. And for me, I've never been good at public speaking, or, you know, I was extremely shy as a child. And, you know, I'm sure I had, very severe social anxiety in many ways and just didn't know it, but I was sensitive, and as I was being put up to this task of writing this book and delivering these teachings to the world, I realized that it was going to be kind of on a large scale, and I wasn't really sure whether I was prepared for that or not. And I just said, I'll do it, but you're going to have to guide me, and please give me the tools I need. Please give me the tools. And that was all it took, and I remained open. And what I saw is that I was given exactly what I needed. And some people could say I never possessed those tools, but there's no other explanation, because all of a sudden, one day I was completely comfortable with it. And I completely trusted in, following the signposts along the way that I was getting from spirit, and listening and doing those things. And I realized that all of those things were within me the entire time. And there's a lot more that's in there too. So to answer the question more direct, I think for me and in my experience, all that's really necessary is to build that relationship with your divine, to know that you're part of that, and collaborate like a friend. It's not about God being above you. It's not about praying up to God. It's about seeing that source as your dearest friend that you can count on and talk to every day, even mundane things. I did that all the time, and that's how I deepened. That's how I started to retrieve some of those things in my Akash that were asking to come out, to help me on my journey, to help me to be out in the world in the way that I'm trying to be. So it's intention and right. focus and surrender and being willing to be an active learner and an active listener. So I think that's the big things.
Yeah. And to stop kind of giving our power away to others. I mean, that's one of the most difficult things, because we do tend to look for acceptance. We do tend to look for love in others. We tend to, believe that others are higher than us, that there is this, they have a gift. So, like we're always looking for someone to tell us, someone to, we're an interesting time, because there's so much information out there. There's so many people that have pieces of the truth. Mm-hmm. We tend to, it's like we're so afraid, I guess, of making a mistake or doing something wrong. And that's one of the things that I loved about your book, is that, it really brought home, there's really nothing to do. There's nothing to fix. Stop trying to control everything in your mind.
Yeah.
Just let them sort of be, like, just accept who you are. And that's a challenge, because we think that our mind, our ego convinces us that if we just, get someone to change this or that, or, it's always about things outside. And unfortunately, the law of attraction has been, it's been really misunderstood and misguided, in that it's these external things that we can have. Like it's like this focus on, everything outside of ourselves, instead of that deeper understanding and awakening within ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a funny metaphor, little story in the book about how we act as humans. And we are very goal-oriented, even from a very, very young age. We track you know, parents, you track when they, your kids start to talk and when they walk, and it's like, oh, you're doing good, you know, you're doing great. And if you're not on track, you're like behind, you're lacking in some way. And there's a funny little metaphor in the book about, you know, how as a contrast, little puppies, you know, if you've ever had a puppy, I've had a couple, and when they're really, really small and they're learning to walk, they tend to run into things a lot. They tend to just stumble into walls, and, you know, they kind of just roll around, and they never, you know, think like, oh, I'm so stupid, why'd I do that? they spring up so fast. Same with, you know, really small kids, is they just spring up. They have no idea that, you know, they did something wrong, or is it wrong? And so the teaching was about, you know, be more like little puppies, because they don't judge, you know, when they're learning. They don't judge. They don't think they're behind. You know, we run into a wall and we think, you know, we're done for. We think we're so stupid, and you know, why aren't I smarter? Why didn't I get that right? And that we're never going to get it right. We're always learning. We're always going to be learning, and we have to get comfortable being an active learner and just accept that we're not going to know. We're not going to know a lot of things. You know, being human, we've got a limited perception, but yeah. And there was a second part to that. Now I'm forgetting.
Just about the law of attraction, how we're always focused outside of ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And
our ego believes wholeheartedly that we have nothing to learn, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There is a weird feeling sometimes, you know, being human, where you think, what am I actually doing? Really, you think about, at least I think about, you know, sometimes when I'm very involved in all these spiritual, you know, teachings and book stuff, and I'm so involved in that work, and then I look outside and I think, you know, and now I have to go eat food, and now I have to go make money, and now I have to, and right. I'm thinking, that's so physical, and yet we have to do those things in order to survive on this planet. And so in many ways, you know, the conditionings and the way that we are as physical beings, it requires certain action steps. And so it makes sense in some ways that we do seek a lot of physical things, a lot of external things, but it's part of the separation game, I guess. It can be difficult to see that we're connected to everything, to see a bigger picture when everything about our reality is, you know, it's three-dimensional. It's separation. And that drives us to seek more. It drives us to understand ourselves in a deeper way. And without that, there would be no goal. So that's part of it. But my motivations have changed as I've seen, for me, like when I was, I'm thinking back to when I was maybe 12, 13, I used to try to like manifest weird things. And I was really into that when I first learned about the law of attraction. I thought it was all about, you know, achieving things, like external things. And I didn't really think about it as an internal process as much as it was like, what can you manifest, you know? And so me and my sister, my mom, we would always play weird games like that and manifest weird things. And we'd be driving along and see like, a line of turtles, and my mom would be like, I manifested that. You know, like, that's my childhood, that's in essence. Cool. And you know, another time it was like donut holes or something, and I got all excited about that. And so anyway, it's just that was how I focused my energy at that time. I thought that's what I thought it meant. And then I realized, okay, that's all good and well. I know how to do this. It's, thought moves into, thought manifests in physical form. Energy manifests into physical form when we focus on it. And so then I realized that when you take the resistance off of something, when it's something you don't care about, it often shows up a lot easier than something that you have a lot of association with, a lot of labels with. Money is a huge, massive one,
It's so dark.
because we have so much attachment to it that we automatically produce the lack of it. Our dominant vibration collectively is the lack of money because we already have an association with it that that's how we achieve our worth, that's how we achieve happiness, health, pretty much everything. And so it's hard to break free of that when we already have labels and associations with it that are so strong, on a collective consciousness level. So I think in a big way, it's kind of about trying to neutralize everything. It's a lot more difficult than it sounds, but or maybe it does sound difficult, I don't know, but I've focused my intentions more internally now as I've kind of deepened and understood things more. I've learned that, what happens in your outer reality is actually mirroring what's happening internally. And I notice internal conversations I have with myself that very, very quickly can manifest outside, and somebody will mirror that back to me, often in negative ways, and I don't always catch it. Sometimes I don't catch it. Oftentimes I do catch it, and I recognize that that was actually my internal, vibration, something, some conversation I was having with myself that was not very kind to myself in some way, or limiting beliefs. And so it shows up that way. It's not just about manifesting a new car or anything, but it talks, in my book, it talks a lot about that, about how to become a vibrational match to what you desire. And in a way that is not so much about actually trying to achieve. Anytime you try to achieve, you are automatically in resistance to it because there's already a motivation attached. So it is a fine line. It is a fine line, but it's also a foundational law of the universe. And so it is important as human beings to understand how it works, so that we can not play victim to our experience, our life. We can start to see how we're creating and actually playing a big role in how, well, in what happens in our personal life and how other people are attracted to us. So it is a big thing, but it's also a lifetime of learning. It really is. It's learning along the way from your own experience, and investing your energy in yourself, in your own evolution, and experiencing how your internal thoughts, dialogues, passions do get expressed externally, and how that sets you up in either a positive direction or negative direction. And either way, it's empowering because you know how to tweak along the way. You know how to funnel your energy in a different way to be in a more vibrational match to what you want to see.
Right. And your book talks a lot about, it's not the word, it's the vibration of it.
Yes.
And we get caught up in the words, and our focus of the vibration is very different than what it really is. Like once we judge it, once we label it, once we, you know, I mean, there's a lot, yes, in the collective unconscious about money and different mm-hmm. things, but it's, you know, it's that vibration that we need to sort of realign ourselves with. If we could stop labeling it in something that we have judged or that we have set in a box, and just sort of be more open to it without the fears. I mean,
right.
The big thing is we have all these fears that we just are so unconscious of. We're, you know, we have these beliefs. We, you know, there's so many terms that are so heavy, like religion. I mean, yeah. There was an interesting thing that, you know, that it mentions in the book about how, you know, religion really is a kind of a distraction. It's an escape. It's our way of, I guess, really, it's our way of disempowering ourselves and thinking mm-hmm. that something, again, outside of ourselves mm-hmm. is going to give us the answers.
Right. And it's, of course, it's personal for everyone. And I think, you know, in many ways, I think a lot of people would take that the wrong way. The way that it's said in the book, though, is so loving that I don't feel most people will mistake the meaning of that.
I agree.
But, you know, in essence, for many people, because I don't want to put everybody in the same category, but for many people who do follow one religion, you know, if you aren't careful, a lot of times you do fall into, you know, really disempowerment and signing your power over to someone else. And what I've been taught through these teachings and through my own deepening is that we are our own greatest teacher. We are filled with amazing wisdom. And I mean, I sure did not think any of those words could come through me. I watched Conversations with God when I was 9 years old. And I remember that scene when he's laying on the couch in the middle of the night, and he starts to talk with God. He starts to hear this voice, and he's, you know, writing down the pages frantically. And it's hilarious because it's exactly what's happening to me now. But I remember at that age, I like paused the movie and I was like, Mom, that is so crazy. Wouldn't it be cool if we could do that? And so I remember thinking, you know, how is it possible that somebody could do that? And so I noticed, though, before I started to really understand what this meant for me, I noticed that a lot of people, they sign their power over to, you know, gurus and mm-hmm. and religions and it's because we all have answers. We all have questions to life that we want answered, and we have been conditioned in some way to think that other people have the answer, that we don't know enough. And I've found that, you know, maybe our mind doesn't know a lot of things, but what's inside our body, what's inside our soul, when we open that up, when we ask for it to be opened up, that's the main point, is that there's incredible wisdom. There is incredible wisdom, and of a universal nature, not just a personal nature, but something much broader, because we all have, you know, we're all from source energy. We've all been birthed from the same source. And when we can open that up, then my experience has been that I have incredible reverence for this, you know, energy, and when I connect in that way, I feel very, I feel like I'm honoring myself too as a human, because I can connect myself with my higher self, and I can realize in a moment where you know, my human self may have kind of taken over and got really worried and bunched up about something small. And then I connect myself with my higher self and I have a communication and a dialogue and I feel lighter. I feel inspired. I feel more at peace. And most of all, I feel like everything's okay because I'm constantly guiding myself from the higher perspective. And I, no matter what it is, it can be something super, super small. And, you know, I'll still have a conversation about it because, you know, my divine is my best friend. And that's the way I think it should be because that's where you get true guidance. Guidance that is not just from human to human. Because when it's two humans thinking like humans, talking to each other, you're getting human-like ideas coming back at you. And I think we all know very well, I think all across the board, we can agree that God is not a human concept. It really isn't. We can't put our own definitions on God because we don't know from our mind what that energy really is until we let go and experience.
And even when we let go and experience, we still bring ourselves back to the human experience because it just keeps pulling us back. I mean, it's a fine line to walk because you can, I mean, I know what it's like to bliss out and to feel 100% connected. And yet I still find myself, you know, stuck in the muck, you know, every once in a while. It's like, whoa, what?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's part of it too, is that it's not, and I've learned this too. It's, you know, it's great to feel blissed out. It's great. Yeah. But for me, where I'm at right now, it's more about, you know, I can get guidance about things, but my humanness, my human emotion does not go away. I do not try to escape my humanness anymore. At a certain point, I kind of did because it felt so great to be expansive and, you know, travel around the universe and see other galaxies and all of that and learn about that. But what I came to realize is it's about being here. Right. It's about being here. It's about learning how to be human and not beating yourself up and not trying to be somewhere else. And so, you know, it's not for me about escaping my body and getting all blissed out anymore. It's not that. It's about finding a deep sense of peace in where I'm at that moment.
Right. It's that acceptance piece. I mean, that's kind of where I'd like to end this. You talk in the book about our struggles and how we're not to deny them because there are no mistakes. Our struggles, everything that happens has purpose on a bigger picture, but we get caught up. I think the thing I'd like to leave people with is, you know, how do we get into that place of self-love? Because it's a concept that a lot of people talk about, but I'm not exactly sure when I read some of the stuff that they say that they're actually even, you know, closely there. I mean, it's something we throw around, but it's not something, I mean, it's really coming to this place of pure acceptance and knowing that there are no mistakes and knowing that it's perfect just the way it is because it's helping us in some way or, right?
It's a big thing, and I agree it is tossed around quite a lot, and it's hard to, I think, touch the pure aspect or idea of self-love, true self-love. But for me, it's about being your own companion all the way through everything. Whenever you, and part of it's mindfulness, part of it is about mindfulness because you know, catching yourself in a moment where you might be beating yourself up, making yourself small, making yourself a victim, and noticing that you are the one doing that. Self-love is about being your own best friend through everything, I actually like to say being your own knight in shining armor, because I think
That's a
it's a
nice visual.
powerful way. Yeah, I like it because, and I feel like I've done that for myself, something that this work has brought me. And it hasn't just been about these teachings. It's been about my own spiritual awakening and evolution. And what I found through all of this is empowerment, seeing that I am seriously the only one that can really help myself grow. That's self-love to me, because you see that you're the only one that can be there for you. And when you realize that, you devote your energy, because it becomes your, when that awareness comes to you, then your priority is going to be to take care of yourself. And hopefully it is. Hopefully that is your priority. For me, I've always had a desire to want to be in full alignment with my authentic self. It's always been my intention. When your intention is there, you deepen into your heart. You open up your heart. And you have to be willing to see what you don't want to see in order to resolve what might be blocking you in a way from fully loving yourself, forgiving yourself, whatever needs to come out. But devote yourself to going inside, and if that's your intention and your desire to see yourself as who you really are, and you're willing to take down the veils, then what you'll see is magnificence. What you'll see is, you know, a companion that's been with you from the start and is always supporting you. And don't be afraid to be selfish. And the way I mean that is that you can devote time and energy to yourself. You can, you know, you can do that and not feel like you are, that you are, I'm sure you understand what I mean.
Yes.
It's not a negative thing to devote time and energy right. to yourself.
It's selfless.
It's said a lot more eloquently in yeah. the book.
Well, you have, I'm going to say this one quote before we go. I can't believe we are okay. almost at an hour, but I love this. It's, it says, let the love just pour through and affirm. I am now one with the universe. I am the light of all that is, and I now know that I am deserving of and in perfect harmony with receiving all the blessings and love that I am wishing for. With this recognition, I ask for divine guidance to show me the way, to bring about synchronicities, and to open my heart more to you so that I can bring more love, kindness, forgiveness, joy, and healing to the world. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart and beingness.
Oh man, I love it. I could just feel it like resonating out as you said that. That was a perfect quote, and it honestly, it kind of sums up this entire thing.
Yeah.
It really does, because that is how you find yourself. It's about devoting time to yourself, going in. That's what it is, and no one else can do it for you.
Right. Well, you are a true blessing, Courtney, and I say that in recognizing the divine within you. I completely appreciate all that you're doing. The fact that you're only 20 makes me a tad jealous, but that's okay. That's my issue. But what I would really like is to continue on some of these conversations, because I think there is so much more that we haven't even had a time to touch into. So mm-hmm. if you're willing, let's I don't know when, but let's play some more and get some more of these truths out there.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me on your show. And thanks to everybody that's listening. I hope you can feel really what I'm trying to help you with and show you your magnificence and it's all so that we can do this together and be our most free, awesome selves.
All right. You've been listening to News for the Heart, and we've been getting to the heart of what matters. Thank you, Courtney.
Have a question for Lori and want to be on the next News from the Heart show? Drop us a line via instant feedback at bmajor.org. News from the Heart is brought to you by Intuitive Soul and is produced by Major Radio for Clear Channel's iHeartRadio and bmajor.org.